Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society. This is the interview with Dr. Han on June the 11th, 1981, and this is tape 4.
A bridge building specialist.
That's your friend.
My friend. Mm-hmm. He took the plane from Chongqing to go to Burma, I don't know which city, so inspect all the bridges. You see, the supplies are from Burma Road. Then this plane was shot down by the Japanese just before, very far from Chongqing. And I was in the press hostel doing nothing, and then suddenly someone came. Did you hear this report? I said, no, I have nothing to hear. The headquarters report said the plane was shot down. The plane also named Chongqing. And on the airport, Dr. Ling, I mentioned, from Singapore, and I, we went to the airport to see him. He said, now, I have 7 days, 4 hours, and a half. Then I'll be leaving to see my family in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So he has an American wife and three or four children. Mm-hmm. In Shanghai, we had a group of Chinese, married Japanese, French, English, Scotch, German, and we have common interests and a common discussion. Mm-hmm. We meet once a month at different homes. So,
do you have a name for this group? Do you have a name for this group?
No, we don't.
How many of you in this group?
There would be about 12, sometimes more. Sometimes they went away on business and so on.
What did you generally talk about?
Generally, it's the economic situation, because from 1930 to 38, mostly is the economic question and war, possible war, large-scale war. We sense the Hitler's rising to power and the tripartite group, Italy, Japan. This also reminds me of the situation October, November 1940, while I was there. German Ambassador Dr. Trautmann proposed to Chiang Kai-shek to surrender to Japan, make peace, and then definitely give Manchuria to Japan. Then Japan will withdraw certain troops from the inland, control temporarily the coast. That the generalissimo was very good, no, decline. Also, Dr. Trautmann offered to continue supply for China war materials. I personally saw some of the war materials reach Chongqing because the a young German, he was in Shanghai, Hitler's youth chairman, leader. He was in my class. He often used the, I told you that, used the chance to propagandize Nazism. I told him that is taboo. Then in Chongqing, he saw I was there, read I was there. So he came to call and he said, I'll take you for a ride. The American, I said, you understand the American expression? No. I said, you might trick me.
Right.
Yeah. So he said, German supply. He was also the head of DNB, Dutch and German news agency, Transocean, the two agencies. Oh, he was powerful, with a Nazi's uniform. So he took me.
Did he have many followers?
Oh, yes.
Or Chinese?
Oh, yes, Domina. No, I don't think so. Uh-huh. China at the time was with America, with Great Britain.
So this student is a German?
German, oh yes. Oh, he's German. I forgot the name, Blucher or Schuler, I forgot which one, was in the class. very cordial and obedient. When I say no, he followed.
So you discussed the economic problems at the time,
yes,
with the groups of friends.
Yes.
And did you also talk about politics?
Yes, of course. Politics. You see, the different groups. Jiang, one group. Sun Fo, Sun Yat-sen's son, another group. And then, Feng Xiang was there. His room was next to mine, mm-hmm, in the press hostel. Mm-hmm. Oh, one day he saw me, because the window all bound, sheltered, he saw me. And I saluted him for fun. Oh, he said, 老朋友是华北的南园 outside of Peking. 没见到,下午碰到。 You see, he 骂人, he cursed his a soldier or a subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
So he felt ashamed when he saw me. Used a very poor colloquial cursing.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see, some Chinese were questioned, was a Fudan University professor. He formerly, earlier years, he was my wife's student. And I met him, he came to call on me. Then the Secret Service told me, says, well, this man, you mustn't let him come too often to see you, because then he does things and maybe reflect on your action. And the central authority is watching him. So you can see.
Yeah. So besides talking the politics, did you also talking about the social?
Social.
Like, for example, you mentioned that most of the people in this group married to non-Chinese.
Yes. At Chongqing, I had only Dr. Sun, who was head of the Vegetable Oil Institute in Chongqing. Dr. Ling also has an American wife. Dr. Sun has an American wife. I had an American wife. So we three quite close. Mm-hmm. But Ling was my best friend, just like my own brother. People always say we are twins. Mm-hmm.
Did you have difficult times in among Chinese because you married to non-Chinese and or your friends, like people would look at you a little different from...
Some of those people who have never been abroad, yes, they feel a kind of a resentment, especially two or three families, they want to have their daughters marry me, and Chinese, and also with money, but they have a kind of an inner resentment.
Mm-hmm. So actually then you have sort of similar experience.
Not too much, because it's really Shanghai is not Chinese city at that time. It was a foreign community, international. Chinese, working class, no contact. The top class in offices and in buildings. Though socially, we do have, as a whole, it's still those, that group. I was thinking of the one who wrote the labor law for modern China. And also he was a graduate from Glasgow shipbuilding. Mm-hmm. 1940, his ship was a transport for Chinese army. I was with Dr. Ning on a little sampan boat across Jialing and Yangtze River.
Mm-hmm.
And the wave, we were just, and also people had to dump the water, what is the word, dip,
uh-huh.
I mean the water out. And one was in a uniform, he said, I'd rather die in the front, then I'll be honored or have some compensation. If I die this, would be eaten up by the fish. He wasn't joking, in a way, but it was violent when this passed by.
Uh-huh.
Evidently transferred troops and militia to another sector.
Mm-hmm.
So while in Chongqing, first I stayed in the press hostel. There's foreign food I could buy right there, and near town I could have any kind of Chinese restaurant, and especially Russian restaurant was very good. But later, criticism was launched against, not me, but against Dr. Kong. Why I was allowed to stay there. I was not a reporter.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so I was told, well, better find a place. So I moved to across the river to Dr. Ling's place,
uh-huh.
Second floor. And every evening almost, three of us, Dr. Ling and I, and Dr. O.S. Liu Hongsheng, Liu Hongsheng, who owns the wool industry and coal and match factories from Shanghai, Wuhu, Anqing, Hankou, Yichang, before Yichang, Wanxian, clear to Chongqing. He owns the manufactured matches.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Lin was the chief chemist for the whole thing. So three of us got together. Was Dr. Liu's building, housing his staff, secretaries and accountants and place. And the manager was a very good man, and Dr. Lin and I have a second floor, just two of us. And one day Japanese bombed the place, one third of the roof gone,
mm-hmm.
just two-story building. And we were sound asleep, suddenly downpour rain. I was in a corner, not immediately affected, and he was holding two suitcases. He said, Yushan, get up. By that time, the water is already a foot deep in there. And I said, all right, we'll put on somewhere higher, away from the rain pour. His bed was entirely wet. Mine was cut, both are cut. I said, well, we can't sleep. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
I said, you sleep 1 hour, then I sleep 1 hour there.
Uh-huh.
And then finally we moved some woodwork and the lights on.
But
every evening almost, we three of us, Dr. Liu, who has plenty of money, owns all this, and the Kailun coal mine from Tangshan to Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had 50 pounds of clean milk powder, tin can. I had 15 pounds of instant coffee. So we get together, I contribute the coffee, three of us drink, and he contribute the
cream.
Then we play in Chinese, I couldn't play much. Three, we couldn't play mahjong,
uh-huh.
we all could. The play Zhuo Lao Tai Po, the Black Queen.
Oh.
I forget, but anyway.
Was that like a poker, game or?
Yes, a game. So, then talk about different things and what China, the future and the war and you see, Dr. Liu was a St. John's graduate,
mm-hmm.
and he came up hard way, almost like a beggar. Dr. Pat, almost the founder of the St. John's University, when they saw him on the street, he was wanting some money. Why don't you go to school? He said, my parents, no money, nothing. He said, you go and ask your parents if you would be fed, you will go, no tuition, could they allow you? He said, I suppose. You see, he said, back and I get a lot of money. And not dressed just like just a nasty little fellow, but he, Dr. Pat took a liking. Then he studied until he graduated. 1929, he gave a social hall building $1 million.
What's Dr. Ling's name?
Ling. Thomas, his uh-huh. first name is Thomas Ling, or T.G. I call him T.G. Ling. I have about 4 inches deep of letters during the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
O.S. Liu was the industrialist.
Mm-hmm.
And when 1950, when the communists occupied Shanghai, he was captured. taken to Peking. In Peking, he agreed to surrender 51% of his holdings to the government. So after some talk, then he decided to escape from Peking without understanding, disguised like a poor fellow and a beggar-like. By the time he got to Shanghai, near the Fudan University, it's called Zhenru, Zhenzu, he was discovered, captured, back to Shanghai, to Peking. Then he was ordered to apologize throughout the country in a truck, and they make music, and he had to speak, confess. He exploited the people. He was my band, Jiji Zemang Chulaida. I have pictures of this because the communist minister in Canada, Endicott, sent me a Far Eastern policy bulletins. And one picture was Dr. O.S. Liu. Oh, I felt bad. He was before the crowd and at the foot of the truck and apologizing for what he had done. He was so happy now he could give back the money to the people.
Was he still living?
Big money?
Was he
died. He died about 3 or 4 years ago. His children, his sons, also St. John's graduate and are scattered over the world. I don't know where they are. January 1941.
You left Shanghai January
1941.
Yeah. For
America.
America,
yes.
I see.
And let me see.
At that time, how can you come into America and out America that easily? You were still foreign.
I
visitor.
Held a diplomatic passport. And the embassy reports to the State Department, and I got, after the Pearl Harbor, I got a card exemption. I don't need to register for draft, but I did, because I intend to stay, and I'm going to defend the country that I intend to enjoy, to live, to work. So I did, I'm glad I did. And, well, here's the racial problem. We bought a house on Sherwood Hills, south of Pico, near Prosser, and near the Sherwood Hill Highlands, the golf course and recreation center. Then within 2 weeks, we moved in. All the neighbors gathered in the Veterans Hall, or whatever you call it, and collected money, hired a lawyer to oust us. And the lawyers came and talked with us, saying if I were the gardener servant, I could live there. If I were a husband, no. Racial restrictions.
But that was 1941.
41.
First you came in, you bought
yes,
a house
Yes, I bought
there.
A house there. And let me see. Then through a lawyer, David Ferris, who was born in China, he said, well, he will try to solve it by appealing to the Secretary of State, Cordell Hull. And he did. Then Cordell Hull answered, China does not enjoy the most favored nation clause. I told you this before, yeah. So they couldn't do anything. So we decided we don't want to live in a community where we are not wanted. Especially next door was a dentist whose daughter was in UCLA. I was teaching in
UCLA.
And I heard the language they were using. I said, well, this is a good excuse. We'll move. So we sold the place and rented in Beverly Hills. And that was very good. For 5 years, so we they increased the rent when the rent control is about to come. They were very clear on that. That's all right.
For how many years you
live years.
In? 5 years.
There, from 41 whole year, 42, 43, 44, 45. We moved out in the spring, 46. We bought this place. this place had no restriction. Mm-hmm. And of course, at that time, there was no wall for retaining. So each rain, I had to go out and shove the whole around. So we built the wall. Mm-hmm. And some people lived here 40 or 50 years. Said, well, that's the biggest reconstruction of this area. I said, well, thank you. And that was well done, this mm-hmm. site.
So and when you bought the body, this house, it was no problem at all?
No, not at all, mm-hmm. this area. Then when even we rented in Beverly Hills, the neighbors want to, people sign us as
again?
Can't rent there.
Even
yeah,
renting?
Yeah, in just before Pearl Harbor and even after Pearl Harbor. I was telling some friends last night, no, maybe, well, it doesn't matter, but it's a matter of principle and law. And police captain, I knew his name, I met him, but he didn't remember, or he pretend not to remember. Neighbors complained, saying, I, a Chinese, had Japanese going up to my house, but we are having Chinese guests. Mm-hmm. So he rang the doorbell, we were second floor, and I came down. I didn't say anything. I said, well, what can I do, or what is wrong? He said, neighbors reported that you have Japanese coming up. I said, I have Chinese friends who are going to have dinner there. Mm-hmm. I said, come up. Then he had an aide, a sergeant or somebody. I said, Mr. Officer, I said, you are violating American law. You cannot enter a civilian house armed. I saw his pistol sticking out. I said, put that back into the car. Mm-hmm. So he did. So I said, if you had asked me permission, I don't mind. But I said, just you were going up. I said, that's violating the rule. I'm a professor at UCLA. I said, put it back to the car. Mm-hmm. So he came up. I said, here, let me see, Wei Xue with American wife there. And let me see, who else? Elmer Chow, insurance, big agent. Quite a group, about 8 or 10. Mm-hmm. So I said, anything? Well, he said, sorry, we're going. So they went. Another time, before long, I took in infrared light. My wife had arthritic attack, so for her. Then the same officer came. No aide come up. Mm-hmm. He ran the bell and went down. He said the neighbors complained, reported you have some transmitter, a secret radio. I said, come up, I'll show you the secret radio. My wife was just there typing manuscript for me in bed with the light and the light on the side there. I said, that's the, I said, you look around. My wife said, what is all this? He said, I lived here my family was an American since 1720s. What is this? And he said, well, look at this room, that room. One bedroom was my study, all books and so on. Another, our bedroom, and then a sleeping porch. I said, what else? I have a typewriter and he said, well, it's all right, I know nothing. I said, Captain, I did once, before recognize him, I said, Captain, you were the chief officer when I gave the Teachers Institute in Whittier High School, Beverly Hills. And Superintendent Mitchell, and also the second officer in education, Boy. Oh, you know them? I said, you were on duty that day. Even though you're a captain, but I, he said, all right, no more. He said, no more, no more question, no more question. Any complaint would just say, stop it, nothing. So you can see this,
how they
regime, their attitude. Mm-hmm. Then in this way, 42, I went to the draft board. Mm-hmm. No, to the ration board. Ration coupons for mm-hmm. food, the sugar, mm-hmm. and so on. And there was a big blackboard with the basic requirements. I was in line. And a teacher said, "Can you read?" Asked me if I can read. Oh, I said, "I heard from the radio." "Oh, that's enough. Go in." Then others. Then she came along. Happened the same lady who behind the desk along the front. "What's your first name?" I said, "Yu." "Yu, how do you spell it?" So I took my name card, just plain, mm-hmm. Yu Shanghan. "Oh, that's very intelligent." Oh, I said, "Sanjo." Sanjo, began to tease her. Uh-huh. "What's your wife's first name?" I said, "Edna." Uh-huh. "Edna," I said, something like that. "Any middle name?" I said, "Middle name is Quick." Uh-huh. "Quick," she said, "Zip Quick." She snapped her finger, "Zip Quick." I said, "I don't know, it's Quick." Then asked me, she saw, "What is the color of her eyes?" That caught me. Her eyes was a strong blue, uh-huh. Irish type. I said, try to think what to say. "Hazel color?" She said, "Yes, hazel." She right. "How tall is she?" I said, 5'5" and a little more. "Oh, a tall woman." She thought it was a Chinese woman, yes. Was so small. I said, "No tall woman, her hair, my nose, no tall woman." Uh-huh. And let me see, this one later at the Teachers Institute, I saw her going in. I tried to remember this girl. I'll tell the superintendent who it was. I don't treat Chinese all that way.
Right.
So she was late in coming in, sitting near the aisle. Evidently, she might remember the name. My naughtiness came forward. I said, "No, that will spoil the evening." The first thing after I addressed the chairman, the superintendent, I said, "Can you read?" But after my lecture, she ran away first. She didn't want to later confront me.
No.
Then I told Mr. Mitchell, the superintendent, I said, "See that one left? She asked me, 'Can you read?'"
Oh, boy.
So this is a very funny experience.
Right. Well, in a way, is that American,
miscomprehension. They don't have the
right.
knowledge. Yeah. You see, at that time, even war and so on. China is only just a column or so. I had to buy Christian Science Monitor in order to get some Chinese news for a number of years. My student days, I want China's news, and I had to be the Christian Science Monitor. And one time, I don't think I've told you this, I went to have my car duplicated, and the man was saying, "Does your wife have bound feet?" Oh, I said, "Unfortunately not." Then he stood. I thought he was munching and thinking. "Oh, you don't mean you like that?" I said, "I do." "Why?" I said, "Well, she's fat. With a bound feet, she can, like a duck, walk and run." "Oh," he said, "can I ask you another question?" He was showing this and that. And I said, "Oh, yes. Now you have a white ruler in China, don't you?" "No," I said, "how did you get that idea?" "I heard it was some sheik." "Some sheik, Jiang Kai-shek."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Some sheik." Sheik couldn't be but still a white ruler, he just didn't know, other than Chinese, Jiang Kai-shek, a sheik, some Kai-shek. isn't he white? I said, no, no. His wife is more whiter than he. Oh, so, oh, he asked many of this question, ignorant. I don't mind.
Really ignorant about how the Chinese live, how was, you know.
I know. Now, most people, they know what the Chinese are. That's what I say, the communist China has done well by China, bring China up to equality. Dare to say, dare to oppose. And also now caught in a situation, Russia wish she had China. America is wanting to have China. So this is entirely a different situation.
Right. And of course that's after war too, still.
Oh yes, oh yes.
People are, I mean, during the war years.
A Chinese girl, I don't remember her name, she lives in the YWCA facing our campus.